Views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Terrific Tuesday, but life is not a Burger King, so you don't get to get it your way. And what happens when we stop seeing with faith? That's a good question. And finally, the great folly of being in control.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing, which kind of all take on a new meaning with everything that's going on. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Can be a prayer request, a praise report, or even possibly a trivia answer. Up to you. Here's the thing to remember. Every topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, I had a little bit of contact with our good friend Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services all over the Texas area. One of our ministry partners, we love Clint, going to try and have him on the show on Thursday. They do free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB. You get in touch with them by going to Mr. Restore. See that word, restore? I won't hit the mic again when I say it. Mr. Restore. .com. Talk to them. They usually are on site within 60 minutes. You can get in touch with Clint. You can tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, and you might get a Tootsie Roll. I wouldn't hold my breath, but you might get a Tootsie Roll. Mr. Restore.com. 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. Mr. Restore.com. And they are, of course, closely associated with the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is a great nonprofit ministry that works with people who have one, two, three, or four severed limbs. Four severed limbs. And they give these people drive and hope and passion. And we support that and think it's a fantastic cause. And I don't suspect anybody will have a problem with that. Couple things we got to talk about just to keep things simplified. If you're listening to this show, I just want to encourage you not to be overwhelmed by fear, regardless of what does and or doesn't happen throughout the entire country and throughout the entire world. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. And if this brings about the return of Jesus Christ sooner, yay! And the other part about that is, I did find out, I'm just going to say this real quickly, there is one industry that's taking it, I'll say this carefully, they're taking it in the shorts. Bad, more, much worse than people know. Not the travel industry, not the airline industry, not any of those industries. You know what industry is taking it almost the worst?
No.
The sex industry. They're dying on the vine. So if the Lord said, hey, watch this, wipe out. It's just like, there it is. You just never know. It's incredible. They're just falling off on the edge, which is fine. I That's personally what I got to say. For those that do not know, today is St. Patrick's Day.
It is. You know, everything that's going on, it's just kind of, I forgot all about it.
Forgot all about it? Here's a new phrase I just heard. Now, you might know this phrase. I didn't know this phrase. Aaron go, brah.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, I've never even heard that phrase. That means Ireland forever. Aaron go, brah. Oh, I thought that meant that Aaron left or something. I just see how far off I am. I don't get it. 34 million Americans have some kind of Irish descent based on St. Patrick, who was the missionary who brought Christianity to the Irish people about in the 400 AD period in that realm. So just be aware of that. A lot of corned beef and cabbage going on. Me, I'm a corned beef guy. It's just from a deli, Jewish deli.
I wondered why there was so much corned beef out there and people weren't buying it. I was like, I didn't get it.
Yep. It's all about the St. Patrick's Day. Let me say one other holiday it is today. Ready? Ready? It's Adeline Joy Schiller's birthday, which
Happy
is my
birthday.
First granddaughter. It is her fourth birthday. Yay!
That's
Happy
Addie
birthday.
Bear.
Addie Bug.
Oh, Addie Bug.
Addie Bug. You have Carter Bear.
Oh, okay.
Addie Bug. I know. I was talking to the bank lady today, and she said, you came out here, you had one? I said, yeah. She goes, you got five and one that's 2 months away? I go, yeah. She goes, what's wrong with you? I said, there's nothing wrong with me. It's them. That's what I was kind of going with. So happy birthday, Adeline Joy Schiller, Addie Bug, just our delight of our heart. She's so fantastic. And she's very touchy. If you put on like some of the music from the kids' shows,
uh-huh.
You know, kids will every once in a while sing. She will take a comb or a brush and go in the middle of the floor, no matter who's there, and she will do an entire act.
That's her microphone.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. I don't know where she gets this be on stage kind of theory.
You know.
I have no idea.
No personality whatsoever.
Yeah, nothing. Okay. For those that don't know, today is also the day that the rubber band was invented.
Oh.
So just in case you want to know that. And then two other things that I thought were noteworthy. Now, this is something I think is good. A lot of people might not understand why, but in 1969, Golda Meir became the first prime minister of Israel. The reason that some of us who have Jewish descent like Golda Meir is because when they had that Munich disaster, she didn't let it go. Like she went after him and went, yeah, that's not going to happen again. So we always had a sense of, yep, that's right, can't do that. But here's one that my wife likes, which tells you that I don't.
Okay.
Okay. 1968 on this day, the Bee Gees, British rock band the Bee Gees, made their American TV debut on the Ed Sullivan Show singing To Love Somebody. There you go.
That is a great song.
It's a great song, but anybody that steals the Beatles material, okay, this is where I have the problem. We can't talk about it. We're going to have to just descend somewhere else because I just have this horrible, we have these terrible discussions. Oh, it's really good the way they do Sgt. Pepper's. And it's like, that's not who did Sgt. Pepper's. So that's kind of how that whole thing goes. So let me just skip that and move on over. Here we go. I want to tell you about something. I'm older now. I know that Wonder Julie's getting younger. In fact, everybody around here is getting younger. I, on the other hand, am getting older, and I am on a consistent basis of needing reading glasses. I can't get away with anything without reading glasses, and it started at point like 0.5, then 0.75, and then 1.25, and right now it's somewhere between 2.0 and 2.25, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. But there's something that's important for the Christian to grasp, and that is you need glasses too. How about that? You're thinking, I need reading glasses, Dave? Kinda. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith and not by sight. You don't live by what you see. I know the world's like, what are you guys, crazy and nutsy cuckoo? Yeah. But Christians live by faith and not by sight. They live by the principles of believing. They live by what they can see in the Lord and not what is just seen in the natural. There is, of course, no greater example of this beyond Jesus Christ than would be for Abraham. Abraham in Romans 4:18 and 21 says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said of him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. So why I want to bring that up is it's kind of simple. It's in our lives, we are called to a life of faith. Many people know Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And people are out there and they're like, I want to do everything the Lord wants. I want to please the Lord in everything I do. Well, faith would be the place to start, right? And we know that the Lord requires us to believe and to operate, not just to have faith in God, but to have faith that God will do. There's a kind of a limit, I think, for some Christians that they think, oh, God is there. I believe in him. Let me tell you something. There is a big difference between believing in God and believing God. Get that? There's a big difference between believing in God and believing God. And what I'm encouraging you to do right now is to move up in that believing God segment. I'm confident you believe in God. I'm asking you to do a better job believing God. I'm asking you to do a better job, according to the scripture, to live by faith and not by sight. I'm asking you to do this because the Lord asks us to do it. It's not something I do perfectly. It's not something I do in every situation. In fact, I fail at it quite a bit. So I have no problem reminding you, because by reminding you, I'm reminding me. And the reality check is you look at somebody like Abraham, who looked at the fact that he was past his prime. No kids coming out of this machine. And yet he maintained a persuasion that in spite of that world reality, God could still do it. That's it. You know, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that seek him. You have to believe that God will reward your pursuit by faith. It's not just faith, nilly-nilly, willy-willy, kind of like just throw it out there. It's real active, actuating faith that you use in the circumstances. Again, I am not preaching at you, I am preaching with you. In fact, I'm not even preaching. I'm really just teaching or exhorting. Bottom line is this. We are called to put on glasses. Those glasses have this faith cover. God puts on his glasses when he sees us. It's a Jesus cover. You put on your glasses when you look at something. It's a faith cover. You see, with faith. And Abraham is our example. And he wasn't like he was in denial. I think that's really important for people to grasp. He wasn't denying anything. He looked at it and said, yeah, I'm old. I'm an old guy. And the only way that this is going to happen is if God Almighty, creator of the universe, decides to make it happen. And that's what he believed. And by believing that, by standing in that faith, he demonstrated what God requires and what God desires out of you and I. He desires us to have an active faith, not just an annoying faith or an obnoxious faith or any of those other things, because we all do that pretty good. Just a genuine confidence that God is in the midst of your life. And that if you see it by faith, you will see a different picture. Isn't that what you want? To see it with God, with faith? I think it is. I think it's what I want. We're going to take a short break and come back. I have much more into when we get into this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. LivingInHisGrip.com is where you can get some of our music for free under the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N. Don't forget, you're welcome to call us 972-445-0770. You can call and say, howdy, howdy. I'm not sure if that's the right way to say that or not, so. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. There's a bunch of stuff on there. I even have something, a very short take that I did in regards to the virus. And then there's about relentless faith. And then there's about the, you know, the relationship. See, what happens is people think, well, all Christianity should have one vein. It should just be this one realm. And it's like there are 12 tribes to Israel and one Israel. There are 12 apostles who all had different personalities, none of which were stripped of their personalities, but they were known as the apostles. So in the church, you got a lot of different flavors and a lot of different elements, but if they're true to call, okay, keep in mind in the apostles, one of the 12 was not. If the church is true to God, true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on that cross, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. True to the call, that sacrifice that Jesus made is the method of our redemption. True to the call, that God gave it by grace and we receive it by faith, then I don't care what denomination you are, you're a brother or sister in the Lord. Now, it's very important to understand that that is a basic. That's a core. So in essentials, there's unity. In non-essentials, there's liberty. And in everything, there's supposed to be charity. We would agree with that. How could you not agree with that? All right, here is our first That's right. I did a T that way. First one. This is not actually a Bible trivia quiz, but it is related. So I'm just doing a little bit of expansion. Don't get upset. Don't let this, you know, don't let the bee in your bonnet go crazy. Okay? Here is the trivia question. In what language was most of the New Testament, virtually all of it, but what language was most of the New Testament written or given in? What language? 972-445-0770. Not the Old Testament, New Testament. 972-445-0770. And then I'll tell you kind of a little bit of a cool fact that goes behind that question. So there's always more than one little thing in there. All right, I want to go back to this faith concept because the principle of faith is one of the most important principles that a Christian can live by. And when I was a young man, I was many times I was on fire for the Lord, and many times we did things that probably I think about it a little differently now. One of the times we went down Van Buren in Phoenix, Arizona in 1978, and we're witnessing to the prostitutes with all the pimps threatening to blow our brains out. There's a lot of boldness there. And then what I did when I was a young man is I had a fast. And so after we take this caller, I'm going to tell you what happened on the fast. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Deborah from Dallas.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing very, very fine. Okay, now, this is not really a trivia question directly in the Bible, but the follow-up, you're just going to absolutely love it. So I want you to get ready for it. So what language, for the majority's sake, for the simplicity's sake, what language was the New Testament written in?
Greek.
That is correct. That is right. Yes. All right. Now, here's something that might or might not catch you by surprise. A lot of people don't know this. But about 70 years ago, they came across what they'd call a treasure trove of Greek literature. And that's when they figured out that the New Testament was written in a certain type of Greek. Do you know what the certain type of Greek was?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Okay. It's Koinonia Greek, which is common language Greek. In other words, people thought for years the New Testament was written in a very strict Latinistic kind of language. And in fact, it was written in the same language that we would do cartoons in.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so what's cool about that is that it should be a good testimony for all of us that God wrote that book in the common language of the people.
Very good. Very good.
Is that cool? I love it.
Thank you
so much. All right, great job. Excellent. Yay. Okay, all right, let me tell you about my Mesa fast. So I was in Mesa, Arizona. Don't ask why. That's I lived in Phoenix and Paradise Valley and all over that Tempe and just Glendale and Peoria. Anybody who lives there knows exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm having this fast, and I do a two and a half day fast. Now, for me, when I think of fast, I'm a literalist when it comes to this stuff. So water only. No coffee, no this, water only. So I'm at 2.5 days, and I'm breaking. I mentioned to the Lord, look, I'm breaking. I'm not doing very good here. And so if there's something you want to share with me, please do so before I get a sub from this sub place. You think I'm kidding. It's like, this is how it went down. But I really was impressed by the Lord that there was something that I needed to understand. And this is where, you know, sometimes you get this impression that the Lord will speak and you think, well, was that the voice of God or not? And it's like, it's only 3 or 4 times in my life where I would say it was the voice of God because it changed me completely upon it being spoken. But this was close. And in this fast, this presence, this essence or this message that I got that I pretty sure was from the Lord was not by what you see, but by what you can believe. And I thought, well, not by what I see, but by what I can believe. I mean, I have to walk my walk in a way. It's not by what I see. Now, that, of course, goes in chord with the 2 Corinthians 5:7. So there's nothing out of scripture to that, nothing weird. But I think sometimes when you say something and you rephrase it for a person, they might get a better handle on it. It's not by what I'm looking at, but it's what I can believe God for that I'm supposed to be walking. Well, guess where the Lord took me immediately? 2 Kings 6, 8 through 17. Follow this. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel, and after conferring with his officers, he said, I'm going to set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing by there. And the scripture says, time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king, and he summoned his officers and demanded them, tell me, which of us is on the side of king of Israel? None of us, my lord and king, said one of his officers. Elijah the prophet, who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. That's scary. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and then they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Ooh. Oh, no, my lord. What shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The servant was not he turned out to be bad later on, but the servant was not doing something wrong here. Okay, here this was no problem. This was no error. And the servant was looking at the circumstance just like you and I would, and he gets up in the morning, walks out there, looks at it, and there's all of this army encamped around them. And he's like, uh-oh. And we do this, right? Come on. You and I do this. We do this a lot. We get up. We look at the situation. It looks like there's an army out there, and we just go, uh-oh. But Elisha, who was a little more connected to the Lord than perhaps you and I tend to be, was telling him, look, you don't need to be afraid. That's always the first thing that the Lord says. First thing he says to the disciples, first thing he says when he after the resurrection, the first thing when he does a visitation in Acts, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Why? Because fear deflates faith. And so he says, don't be afraid. There's more with us than are with them. And you have to be like an honest Christian and go, what did that guy think at that moment? It's like, let's see, Elisha, it's you and me. And then there's this like 800 people cavalry right here. And then Elisha prays for him, open his eyes, Lord, so he may see. And then once that prayer was prayed, his eyes were open and he could see way beyond what the natural eye could see. And because of that, he got it. Because when you see in the natural, when you walk by only by what you can see, when you do it, you literally when you're processing and you're going through this and you live by sight, you cannot see the spiritual. But we need to live by faith. And quite frankly, we need to be praying, Lord, open our eyes so we can see. Now, here's the summation of this whole thing. Why? Did you notice I said why several times? Why do we need to see with faith? And the answer is because if we stop seeing with faith, we take over. And that's the ticket. When we stop seeing with faith, we try to take control. We take over because it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. There's a big army there. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. I'm upset. I'm fearful. And I've got to do something. And that's the problem. And that's our problem. And you think, well, that's a little extreme. I don't see things in Scripture that are applicable to us as extreme. I see them as things to go for, to shoot for, to step towards, to move towards. You want to know why we need to see with faith? Because if you stop seeing with faith, you'll take over. And you want to talk about a disaster that's coming. When you take over, guaranteed. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to encourage you to go to hemustincrease.org. About halfway down is an opportunity to give. We're running about 800-ish short for this month. I'm just telling you, people that have already given, I don't want you to give. That's not manipulation. That's not putting anything on anybody. It just tells you, hey, Lord, we pray that you help Dave get the money. I mean, I don't care. I don't care if it comes by, a canary comes by and drops eight $100 bills. I don't care. I just want to be able to cover everything and move it forward. That's all I care about in trying to advance the ministry. If you can't give but want to give, you know that's such a blessing to hear that. And I pray the Lord enables you to give in the future, somewhere else. And if you have given, you know how much we appreciate that. We're just going to go forward. All you can do when you're at that standstill is take one next step, right? That's what we're doing. All right, let's give some props to Kimberly Ellis. All right, bottom line for Kimberly is this. First-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales, doesn't matter. She can help you walk you through it. She can take you through that process. You do not have to sign up with her. You do not have to make a commitment. You don't have to take any blood and put it on a sponge and then give it to her and say, I'm committed forever. You can just talk to her. And so her number is 903-48-HOMES. 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 Homes. And why we tell you that is because if you just want to touch somebody, get a handle on, yeah, I need to kind of know what's going on here. And believe me, I know all the stuff that's going on in society. Doesn't mean you can't make a phone call. I'm going to go out on a limb and say your phone is probably pretty clean. So give her a call, 903-48-HOMES. Talk to her. See if there's any information that she can walk you down or give you insight in and help you with any real estate decisions you need to make. Also, she is connected with us through HeMustIncrease.org, and we encourage you to check that out. Quick trivia question, then we're going right back into the teaching. Got to be kind of quick on this one. Not going to give you a lot of time. Not a lot of exciting things to come behind this one. But which day did God create plants? There you go. Which day did God create plants? 972-445-0770. I just want to take this time just to make sure everybody understands about getting your ducks in a row. You ever heard that expression? I'm going to get all my ducks in a row and make sure everything is completely, perfectly nailed down. It's difficult to express how unbelievably ridiculous it is for human beings to tell God how they're going to get their ducks in a row. I've mentioned this before, and I will probably mention it again, but in my little league career, I was a really good little athlete. I was never a professional athlete. I was a youngster athlete, but did really well. I led the league in pitching and in hitting. I did really good in Southfield, Michigan, just had a stellar year, and I thought as we were winding down and absolutely destroying this team that we were playing by 16 runs, I thought we're getting to the last inning. I normally play first base. I am going to take the catcher position because these guys are whiffing ball after ball after ball. I'm going to control this. I want to catch the ball so that when I catch the ball and they whiff that last guy, I can jump up in the air, hold the ball, and then everybody can come running to me from the team and go, yeah, right? So in the last inning, I switched to catcher. And the first guy whiffed and the second guy whiffed and the third guy almost whiffed, but he tipped it. And then you know what he did? He hit a slow dribbler down the first base line. So the guy that took over for me at first base put his mitt down. The ball went into the mitt. He stepped on the bag, and everybody rallied around him and went, yeah. And I was thinking, that didn't work. That's us trying to control it. That's us trying to coordinate it. That's all of us all the time. Listen to this story in 1 Chronicles 21. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commander of the troops, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan, and then report back to me so I know how many there are. But Joab replied, may the Lord multiply his troops 100 times over. My lord and king, are they not all my lord's subjects? Why does the Lord want to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel? The king's word, however, overruled Joab, and Joab left and went throughout Israel and then came back to Jerusalem. Listen to this. Joab reported the number of fighting men, but he did not include the Levites or the Benjamites in the numbering because the king's command was so repulsive. And you're thinking, well, what's the big deal with that? That's just David, and he's just taking inventory. That's the problem. For him, in that situation, he was taking inventory versus trusting. God had given David wonderful victory after victory after victory after victory. His name was well known. He was killing it, man. He was just riding the wave. And then Satan got involved and mixed into his mind and comes against Israel. And then he gets David to go, let's take an inventory of everything we have so we can know what it is. And what angered the Lord is that he tried to put his hands around everything that was his so he can go, this is what I've created. Just what Nebuchadnezzar did. And that turned out poorly. And when we try to get all of our ducks exactly in a row the way that we think they should be, that's when God pulls out the shotgun and goes, and the ducks go flying everywhere. Why is that? Because in our minds, we think we can control it, we can direct it, we can coordinate it, and in the mind of God, it's like, that ain't happening. And then you'll say to me, and I'll say this to you, so don't get the wrong idea. I got plans, Dave. I got big plans, I tell you. I got really big plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go to this city or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will... If the Lord will allow us, we will. And if it's the Lord's will, we will live, and we will do this, and we will do that. Instead of going around with this arrogance saying, we're going to do this, and this, and this, and then we're going to do this. Ah! Remember that politician who screamed at the end? Ah! Okay. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, no. You don't even know what your life is going to be. I promise you, 7 weeks ago, you had no idea there was going to be a virus that was going to upend all this stuff to the level that it's being upended. You didn't know. What is your life? It's like a vapor. We often sleep with a mister, and not one of those things that puts mist in the air. So the scripture is comparing our lives to this vapor that comes out. It's the water system, and it comes out with like a cool mist or whatever, and then it's out there, and you can see it, and then it disappears. It's like it's gone, and then it's got to be replenished. That's what the Lord's like going, that's what your life is like. It's like that mist stuff. Like, really? The reason that I say that, it's not to insult anybody in any fashion. It's to give us a better perspective on what's taking place. Trying to control it because we think we need to control it is the height of folly. There was an old rock band that did a song. Carrie Lifgren wrote the song, and I even wondered if you would know this, but it was called Dust in the Wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Well, Carrie Lifgren was a Christian, and he literally took that portion out of the portion in James chapter 4. He just transformed it, and what he was thinking was, we're like dust in the wind. We're nothing. He's right. That's right. So we surrender to the Lord. We take those plans and we yield them to God and say, yes, Lord. Get it? All right. We got somebody calling in. Is somebody calling in? Somebody's calling in. So I guess they'll probably – don't let me – I could go 2 hours on this. Isn't that terrible? Terrible. So the bottom line is don't be that control-y person because they ain't going to work for you. Okay? All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Bobby. I just tried waiting somebody else to answer, but on the third day.
That is correct, Bobby. You are right. Third day. The only thing that's cool about the third day element is, as we look at the scripture, I had this guy from the Smithsonian Institute in New York point out that the sun and the moon don't really come around to day four. And then if that's the case, then how did we have plants in day three? It kind of messes up the evolution process. I always thought that was an intro, like, wow, that's a good one. I never thought of that. That's good. So good answer.
Oh, yeah. You know, all they do is study God's word and prove it.
That's right. Exactly right, my friend. Excellent job. Thank you for calling in and giving us that answer.
All right. You have a blessed day.
All right. You too, my friend.
All right.
Okay. Good answer. I guess we did have one little cool thing. See, the plants came before the sun. See, in evolution, that doesn't happen that way because the sun. Okay. You don't want me to go down that road, do you? Wonder Julie's going, get out. Get out. I got 2 minutes. Here it is. Look, just like I tried to control the end of that Little League game because I thought I knew better, if I'd have just stayed where I was, the ball would have just come to me. I probably could have picked it up with my teeth. Right? But instead, I wanted to control it. So I missed. I missed the opportunity. There's a folly about being in control. It's one thing to take inventory and then surrender the inventory. That's another thing to take inventory and trust in your inventory. Now, I know we all have plans. We all have desires. I get it. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to things of God and the things of life, all we are is dust in the wind. I mean, it's just that simple. And we ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live or do this or do that. Because that's how we're supposed to do it. Okay? We're going to come back. Got one little more segment to go. Don't get too excited. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
And if you can't shout sight,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Quick reminder, you want to reach us, 972-445-0770. You can also go on your roof and go, hey, David. I will not hear you, but you can do that. And if you fall, it's your fault. I take no liability or responsibility, because you have to take personal responsibility. That is scriptural. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. Let's see what else we got going on. I think Johnny will be on the show on Friday. We are monitoring where Wonder Julie works and some of the different places she works. You know, they have to kind of cut back staff and so on and so forth. So right now, everything's okay here as far as we know. So that's a good thing. All right. So we have been talking about understanding that we need to have a better pair of glasses. When God looks at us, he has these Jesus glasses. When we look towards things, we need to have these faith glasses, right? And it's certainly faith in God. Maybe it should say faith in God, fig. Maybe we should have fig glasses. Okay, here's the bottom line. Abraham, great example, looked right at the situation, did not move from his persuasion that God was able to get it done. And so then we kind of went through and looked at some of the different scriptures. We looked at 2 Kings chapter 6, which had to do with Elijah helping his servant see what was really going on, because oftentimes when we walk by sight and not by faith, we don't even know what's going on. And so the grace of God enables us from time to time to see that there's a greater picture, a greater thing taking place, and we need to operate in that. And one of the main reasons that we need to see with faith is because when we stop seeing with faith, then we, individually me, individually you, take over. And that is the disaster. So we went through 1 Chronicles 21 talking about David taking an inventory versus trusting in the Lord. Talked a little bit about folly, my own folly with the baseball game and trying to coordinate how the last out would come about and who would get the praise. And then we looked at James chapter 4, 13 through 15 to understand that even though you got big plans, you're a vapor. You're a vapor. You're a dust in the wind. So now we come to this point where there is this move that we need to have, a shift in our thought process. Begins with Jesus saying in John 15, 4 through 5, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. In regards to kingdom work, in regards to walking with God, the key is to remain in the Lord. Remember, we were using a new DNA process, a new DNA formula, and D stands for draw near to the Lord, N stands for never be ashamed, and A stands for always be available. Okay? Always be there. Always be ready. And so that's the DNA we have to have. Drawing near to the Lord, though, is the first element of the DNA. It's the first strand. It's the first part in that formula. We need to be close to the Lord. We need to be connected to the Lord. We need to remain in the Lord. To let you know, that word remain, which is the same word as abide, basically, means to dwell there, to live there. And we need to keep in mind a few things that maybe escape us from time to time. Acts 17, 24 through 25, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So you get this one verse, it kind of just pulls the rug out. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So from God, you get life. It's cool that if you have life, but guess what? If you have no breath, life's over. He gives you breath. And then anything else that goes after breath comes from him. Because he is in charge. And so this idea that you and I can control stuff is dumb, and we should stop doing it. I mean, that's what it is. It's like, oops. And so now you get into this, and it's like our system, we need to catch that everything is a gift from God, and we need to have this connection with the Lord and understanding that our whole heart needs to be connected to him. And we always need to be mindful. How about that Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs, the one that drives some of us batty because we quote it but don't use it. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Now we like the trust in the Lord with all your heart. Where we stumble is lean not on your own understanding. Because that's in conflict with how we operate. The Christian pair of glasses that we need come from the reality that Scripture tells us that we are supposed to live by faith and not by sight. And then I've actually had people go, well, that's only applying to salvation. You know, Romans 4, 18 through 21, the entire text is about Abraham's circumstance, how that the circumstance was so tough, and he looked right at it. It was really, really tough, but he still was convinced God could get it done. That's what we need. We need to use our whole heart. We need to always be mindful. We need to get out of our own understanding as though we know what's going to happen. Friend, let me say something as a radio minister. Friend, you don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. Oh, I know. 5 minutes ago, you're a genius now. You experienced 5 minutes ago. You can write it all out on a sheet of paper. Congratulations. What happens 5 minutes from now? What? You don't know? Of course not. And I'm not saying that to insult you. I'm saying that to keep us in our place. We need to do something that's a little bolder in our Christian walk. We need to see every aspect in life with God in that picture. I've been praying. I pray this pretty regularly. So I pray that I would have his perspective on a regular basis, because my perspective's terrible. But I pray that I could see more closely aligned to what's going on according to him. I've done enough. Haven't you done enough assuming? I've done enough assuming. It's maddening, right? It's like, I just want to rather just do this according to the Lord. And then as soon as I walk away from that and lose that little seed of mustard seed of faith, and then I take it right back and lean on my own understanding, and then I tell God how it should be, and it's cyclical. This just happens over and over again. But you know what? Then you speak the truth over and over again. You know how you really get through this stuff? You don't sit there and say, well, I've conquered the whole trial of patience. Well, do you ever wonder why God gives it to you 5,000 more times? Because the answer is you didn't. You have more to learn. You're growing. And so the understanding comes when you say, I'm in another lessons of patience because I need to do better and grow deeper. That's why. And so when we go through these trials again and again and again, there's a reason. God's not bored. I'll just loop them again. I got nothing to do. He's helping us to get a grip that we need to not lean on our own understanding, trust him with all our heart, not 50%, not 75%, not even 85 or 90%. All of our heart, 100%, not lean on our own understanding, in all of our ways, surrender. And let him show us the path instead of telling him what the path should be. And that's what he calls us to. And people are like, well, that's very relationship oriented. Duh, you're going to spend eternity with God. What do you think you're going to do? Build tiddlywinks? Come on. It's all about relationship. You're going to spend eternity with God. Enjoy it now. It's going to last forever. Get it? Got it? Keep it. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.